Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful eighth day of September 2019. We're going to talk about why. Everybody asks why. And most of the time we ask questions about why to things that we don't have the basic capacity, hate to say it, the basic intelligence or mental acumen to really understand what's going on. Our acuity has been stripped away from us due to our infatuation with entertainment and politics and all sorts of arguments that we like to engross ourselves in, entangle our lives in. We'll talk about that here in a moment, but I want to remind you while I'm on that subject, oh golly, there's nothing like insulting your audience and then asking them to support you. Not a very bright thing to do. But anyway, it's the way, the truth, and the light here. We are in our drive. We've just started it. We do it every year, our year-end drive to keep Aspire on the air. And your support looms very, very important. Without your tax-deductible gift, whether you become a sponsor or you make a donation is very, very, very important. And I hope that you will consider making a donation, a year-end donation between now and the end of the year. And really, the sooner the better to help us. Our mystery donor, it will match all donations during this period. So if you give a $100 donation, he'll make it two. So he's being very, very kind to us, very generous. And I am deeply grateful for his loving support. I really am. This is a very unusual situation I find myself in with him, and I can't thank him enough. I have to say, though, being a sponsor would help much more. A sponsor is someone who gives a gift either quarterly or monthly. And these donations go to pay for airtime of our radio program. It helps me go to hospice. Finances me to go there, go to the hospital, do my hospital work there, which I do every week. And now our new Batmo project. And if you haven't been to our Batmo site, what we're doing for children, go to batmo.org. That's batmo.org, O-R-G. Go take a look. We are helping handicapped children who are leaving their bodies, who are, you know, having great difficulty in their with their health, but they find Batman to be a very noble creature in their life, and it really means a lot to them. So I hope that you will read my mission statement there, what it's all about, and help us there. Your donations go a lot further than you would ever imagine, and you help many more people than you will ever know. And the hospice, hospital, Batmo project, people, students, friends of yours, people who I help, who call me just suddenly on the cuff and have a difficulty or have issues, and I help them. Yeah. So if you're of that ilk, you kind of understand what this all means, that it's a spiritual life that we live. It's not a mental, emotional thing, a psychological thing. It's much deeper than that. Then I hope you will help us, you know, with this Aspire drive. We need your support very much. I appreciate it. Why? Why do we ask? I get some wonderful questions about the whys. So what I did is I took three emails that I got in the last 4 months that have the whys in the middle of them, and I thought I'd answer them, and I thought maybe this would make a really good radio program for us. So here we go. First one comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, "You speak of God very rarely. Why do people need God? Do you believe in God? And if so, why?" John, I long gave up the ideal of Greg Penn human perception of God. God is a direct experience, and it is not the God that we want to think of as this all-knowing character who lives in the clouds with a long beard and has a mysterious plan for everyone and created everybody out of the image of his own likeness, which would be, to say the least, narcissistic. And if that's the case, then he's pretty screwed up, dude. So I have never really ascribed to that. I've always felt that the presence and the essence of God is found in love. I truly feel that through my direct experience with the whole thing of God, it is what Jesus said, God is love. I do not think of him as a man, as a person, as an image. I do not think of God as some kind of higher power. I don't believe in that at all. I know the AA people love it and it helps them, and I'm fine with that. I fine. Believe what you want. If it helps you, good. But in the truth of the matter, the downright truth of the matter, it's a presence that vibrates in an intelligence of tone and light, and it is something that is unmistakably present in everything that happens here on Earth, in every molecule of everything that is here on this planet. There is only one presence and one power in that, as we used to say when I was teaching formally. And this presence and power is not to be understood through the human mind. Can only be understood through meditation. Let me say this to you. It is only in a mind that is not trying to decipher what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, but rather is living to discern the meaning of life itself, the meaning of existence itself. This is the presence and the power I speak of. Now you ask, why is there a God? Why does my nose itch? Why is the sky there? This is a question that could never be satisfied through the pedestrian mentality that you possess and I possess. There are some things in this lifetime, in this world, in this life experience that cannot be explained through rational mind. There is no way to make logical sense out of it. So if you are to come up with an answer to that, it would never satisfy the human mind. And it would be above our psychological pay grade to even consider the truth of it. We wouldn't be satisfied. So what I'm saying to you is, and the answer to the question, and I'm not avoiding it, I'm confronting it. The reason there is a God is because there is a God. But it's not the God that you have been taught, the Catholic God, the religious God, the Mohammedan God. It isn't that at all. It is simply the presence of tone and light. It is a vibration. It is physics in its best. And this physics that I speak of is the accumulation of a knowledge, an intelligence that far supersedes anything our biological, psychological body and mind could ever fathom. So it's not a point worth arguing about. When you meditate, now hear this with me, John. When you meditate, there are certain things that will come to you that do not come to you in thought. They are not thought provoking. They have nothing to do with thought itself. What are they? They are deep and profound impressions. And these impressions touch various parts of our consciousness. Deep inside all of us, there is a state of consciousness. This consciousness is the flow of the eternal that lives within us, the immortal. Every so often, in meditation, You will feel the ping, the touch, the tap on the inner shoulder. And when you hear this, feel this, think this comes to you, whatever is the impression, you have a chance to do something magnificent. You have the chance to live in this impression with a great deal of love and courage. You can actually sense the love and courage in it. You can actually sense its other world quality. But you can't explain it. I can't explain it. And I've learned something, John, that anything I can put into words about the subject we're talking about demeans the subject. To demean the presence of this thing that human beings call God through my words, my thoughts, my attitudes, my beliefs, my theories is absolutely ugly and should not be done. And I won't do it. But to have the direct experience of this thing that I speak of and to understand it in its form and fragrance of love, now that is something well worth living for. I don't need to understand in Greg. I don't need Greg to tell me this is true, this isn't, this is right, this is wrong. I don't need Greg for any of that. My experience in meditation, my experience in my inner work far exceeds that. So I am content to live in a simplicity, in a solitude, and in a silence that allows me to cherish this thing that we call, or you call, God. And that's as far as I'm willing to go with it in words. I'm telling you, it is simply tone and light, and it lives in all sorts of forms. And to miss it, to not understand it, to not have a sense of its resiliency, its truth, its light, that would be a deep tragedy in my life. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Anthony, and he talks about my TV program, Nobody Likes You Anyway. And at first he said he found it very depressing, but as the time went on with it and he started to understand more and more what I was talking about, he started to realize how very, very valuable it was and how important it is. So I'm grateful for that. He asks, why is there a you and a me? Why are there such differences, he asks. Anthony, there are always differences in people due to opinion, due to the mental prowess of a person, the mental acuity, the acumen that a person has come to. There are many, many, many different factors. Most of them all are genetic. How I live in my genetics, how I either thrive in my genetics or how I live in them and what they dictate to me as far as what the meaning of anything is, just goes on and on and on. So if you really look at what's going on in this lifetime and you really understand the nature of people, you understand that we are all here in one form as a human being, but with all sorts of different natures. The nature of one person can be different than another. The nature of this person over that person and why this person does this and that person does that is simply a matter of, in the beginning, genetics. You get a body that you have incarnated in, and this body that you've incarnated in is something that you left in a previous experience, and it just keeps going on and on and on like this until we come to a place where we can appreciate the depth of love. It is all about love. So when you start to see the meaning of your own existence in the face of your own life, then you can understand there's a me and a you, and the only thing that separates us is the concept that we have inside the body as the body. The body defines things. The mind is defined by the body, and the body defines the mind. There is all sorts of perceptions and concepts and preferences that are developed through the ingenuity of the ego, which manufactures all of the evidence that is needed for us to believe in anything we believe in here on Earth. And if you keep this up inside you, if you keep going on and on and on in this, which most people do, you will find you miss. You will miss the substance and the meaning of everything that is deeply important to your life. And we will acquiesce to the worst part of ourselves if we're not careful. To see everyone as ourselves is a very difficult thing to do, mainly because what separates us is preferences, ideals, quality of the body, and its race, its nationality, all of that. These things are illusions and delusions in my mind. And they have nothing to do with the reality that deep in the core of that person, who I may not be able to understand due to the fact of my own ignorance and my prejudice, that person is very much the same as me in all sorts of different ways. I said different ways. They are what they are based on exactly what is going on within my heart, or the lack thereof. Let me say this to you, and try to hear me, Anthony. It is only in your relationship with love that we find the clarity to see people for the way they are, for their authenticity. It is not through the discerning mind that is trying to navigate through its prejudice and preferences to decide whether or not they like or dislike, or whether a person is like them or not like them. It has nothing to do with any of that. So if I keep that up, I'm going to miss the whole thing. But if I can live in the accordance of my heart that does not define, analyze, theorize, the heart that is beyond the human heart, I find the authenticity of my whole entire life, and the meaning of my existence takes on a new form. Now, everything that is important is relevant to me, and I begin to find out there is no me. This Greg that you are hearing right now only exists as a human being. Deep in the background of him is speaking something else. His soul is speaking through the body to you right now. That's all it is. And I have to find words to explain and emulate what that soul is communicating, which is far beyond the ideals that any human mind can understand. To learn how to accept what is going on for the sake of its going on, of whatever is happening, and to begin to appreciate that is a very wise thing indeed. And very few people in this world are willing to do that. Darn precious few. So there you are. There's my answer. There's only a me and a you if you want it to be that way. If you seek the way, there is only the oneness. And that means that I drop the Gregory and you drop the Anthony and you live once again in the love that you are. You are not a thing. You are not a person. You are that which is. Very hard for people to to comprehend. And unless you are really devoted to meditation, none of that will make much sense to you. We ask many questions. We're just not prepared for the answers because of the way our mind works. We just can't accept them. I hope that helps you, Anthony. And again, please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from John again. I like his questions. He went through a litany of things about my TV program on What's the Point of It All. And I'm grateful that he enjoyed it. You can watch all these programs on the website, our website, at aspire.org. They're for free. They're for you. He asked this, Greg, why am I? Why am I whying? That's a very good question. You know, most of the time, people's questions are just a way to divert the answer. They don't really want the answer. They want a explanation that their minds can understand. So when someone says, well, why am I whying, or why is this, or they really don't want an answer. They just want an explanation. An answer would be something beyond the concept of thinking, beyond the ideals of right and wrong and good and bad, and beyond even the specter of my own mind. Look at your mind just for a moment. How much, what is the acuity of your mind to be able to accept and welcome and entertain anything other than the thoughts it can think? Probably nil. Well, there I go again, you know, insulting my audience and then asking them for money. Boy, what a crazy guy I am. But there you are. If you really look at it, you'll see. I can't accept much past what it is I think. And if my thinking is limited, if my thinking is small-minded, if my thinking is not awakened and beyond the ideals of my genetic mind, my mental acuity, my psychology, then I don't get anything. All I do is struggle and try to make do with what I can think. And that ain't much, and that ain't much good. So when you start thinking about the light of your heart and how it communicates to you beyond thought, the heart does not think. The heart does not analyze. The heart does not judge. The heart has absolutely nothing to do with the way my mind, my genetics like to think. When I am willing to open up to that which I cannot think, that which I cannot analyze, that goes beyond the preferences of my psychology and the kind of rumination of my thoughts rolling around through the same thing, the poor me, or I'm a loser, or whatever it is that you attained in this lifetime, when you are no longer that interested in those things, that's when you're going to start to understand exactly what I'm talking about. And something of the other shore will reach you. So again, John, meditation, learning the language of silence, learning the language that is nothing to do with linguistics or anything. Just learning how to listen. And if you can listen without the interruption of your thoughts, that's when you'll get it. And when you get it, at first you will be troubled, as Jesus said, and then you will be overwhelmed with great love. I'm out of here. Hope that helped you, John. I hope that helped my audience. I want you both to please forgive me. And